Hi everybody, it's Tim Quast for the Market Structure Map, and I'm back. A giant thank you to Client Services Director Perry Gruber for penning last week's map, and he'll be back regularly by popular demand. He can do it. This week you're stuck again with me. Something is worth what another is willing to pay for it. That's what something is worth. And that's the lesson of the maelstrom in financial markets. I don't, you know, you may not see it. From wood pulp futures to Bitcoin to silver to GME to AMC to wherever the next Dutch tulip bulb of the 21st century showers the shocked with inflationary sparks. But before we get to that, we're back from riding the trade winds around Antigua in the Caribbean, where high season in the Caribbean looks like the turnout for a vegan tour at an abattoir. Nobody's there. The Caribbean has no central bank doling out cash for sitting home trading in a Robinhood account. And we did our best to offer economic support. and it was worth it. I've posted photos of our circumnavigation of the island of Antigua, which has 148 beaches, wonderful coves. It's just a great island. I mean, there's so many great places to go in the Caribbean, and this is another one. So be sure to visit modernir.com and find the market structure map, and you'll see it. Oh, and you'll recall that my January 27 map, we left the 26th, but I wrote it on the 25th, said, "Congrats, Tom Brady. We old folks relish your indomitable way." And when you're going to sea, always bet on the Buccaneers, right? The Pirates and the old guy. So anyway, we were saying a thing is worth what somebody is willing to pay. That's it. That's what it all boils down to. What is something worth? Well, what someone will pay for it. Well, yesterday, GME closed at GameStop, closed at 50.30. Roughly, on the Benzinga pre-market prep show, January 25th, right before we grabbed our flip-flops and duffel bags and bolted with our COVID-19 negatives for the airport, I told the audience, market structure shows GME is going to go up. I mean, you look at the math and see it. I didn't know it would rise to $483 while we were at sea, but somebody was willing to pay more until they weren't. And right now, AMC, BlackBerry, Bed Bath & Beyond, Nokia, and so on, there are outliers. I could rattle off a whole bunch more because it's this outlier quality to these conditions is beginning to change. And what if the scatterplot gets crowded? You know, most of the people on what Karen calls the "What do you think of this stock?" TV shows, it cracks me up, are still talking about the P.E. ratio. Earnings growth, secular trends, economic drivers. You know, you get the idea. Well, investor relations people, are you prepared for a market full of GameStops, surging highs, avalanche tumbles? How about you, investors? In physics and electronics, and this is the title, by the way, of this week's market structure map. It's called Metastable. Well, metastability is the capacity of a system to persist in unstable equilibrium, like an avalanche. You know, there's the snow on the slope and it all seems just fine until somebody coughs and then the whole mountain comes down on you. That's metastability. You know, it seems solid, but it's not, like the stock market. And don't blame Reddit. Look, I love the flexed muscle of the masses. I'd like to see it in society elsewhere, frankly. A horde of people who refuse to be told what to do or told that they can't. You know, a mob of unruly traders is wholly American. But all those people and all the rest of us in the capital markets ought to understand the metastability that makes a GME or an AMC possible. Most retail orders, trades from individual investors, are sold to intermediaries trading at extreme speeds. Those firms aren't calculating P.E. ratios. They're not investing. They'll pay somebody for a trade so long as they know somebody else in the pipeline is willing to pay more. Hordes of limit orders hit the pipeline, and intermediaries see the whole hierarchy. They race prices up, skipping swaths of limits by raising the price past them. That's how your order doesn't get filled. So those traders, if they're greedy and willing to chase, jump out of line and enter new, higher limit orders. And mania ensues because somebody is willing to pay more. When the high-speed intermediaries see that limit orders to buy and sell are equalizing, they stop filling limit orders, they short stocks, and they skip limit orders on the way back down in the same way they did on the way up, and the whole cavalcade reverses. And it's not just retail flow or big high-speed penny pickers in the middle. Quant firms do it, hedge funds do it. And two factors make a metastable stock market possible. First, rules require a spread between the bid to buy and offer to sell. So if you've got a mandatory spread, somebody will always have a split-second motivation to pay more for something than somebody else. Indeed, it's what regulators intended. How do you foster a market that never runs out of goods? Well, give them a reason to always buy and sell. Exchanges pay them for the best prices to boot, parenthetically. And regulators let those fast traders manufacture shares, that is, short them, create them out of whole cloth, and sell them into the market, that's short, that don't exist. They don't exist. And they permit them to persist at this for weeks because they get a market-making exemption. It is necessary for the stability of the markets, they argued, and the regulators agreed, and so we have this. The market, then, is nearly riskless at any price for the raciest members moving unseen through the Reddit ranks. They bought the trades. They know what everybody's doing. And that's why we have a metastable market. Do you follow all of that? I realize it's difficult to wrap your head around. But that's what we've got. So what's the alternative? Well, you might not be able to buy Facebook or sell Netflix at times. I mean, if there's not someone on the other side of the trade, you don't have a market. But here's the question. Would we rather have a false market with ever-present orders or a real market occasionally without them? That's the great question. Regulators chose the former. So did the Federal Reserve, by the way. And that's why everybody in the U.S. stock market better know how it works. And we do. If you need help, ask us, public companies. And that's modernir.com. And investors, go to marketstructureedge.com. We can help you.